Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Annotated Memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant is a scholarly edition of one of the most important American military autobiographies. Grant wrote his personal memoirs near the end of his life, after financial ruin, and while suffering from terminal cancer, producing a direct account of his early life, Mexican War Service, Civil War Command, and reflections on leadership. This Livewrite edition, edited and annotated by Elizabeth D. Samet, places the original text within a wider historical, literary, and cultural frame. Its purpose is not simply to preserve Grant's narrative, but to help modern readers understand the assumptions, references, military practices, and post-war memory battles surrounding it. The annotations connect Grant's plain prose to maps, images, contemporary sources, classical and literary echoes, and debates over Civil War interpretation. The result is both a primary historical document and a guided reading experience for readers interested in Grant, the Civil War, American memory, and military leadership. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant's spare prose creates authority through restraint rather than ornament. Grant's memoirs are often admired because they avoid the theatrical style common in many 19th century military accounts. His sentences tend to be direct, sequential, and practical, reflecting a commander who valued clarity of orders and economy of movement. This style matters because it shapes the reader's sense of credibility. Grant rarely presents himself as a heroic figure standing above events. Instead, he reconstructs circumstances, explains constraints, and identifies the reasoning behind decisions. His narrative voice often appears unsentimental, especially when describing hardship, failure, or battlefield losses. That restraint does not make the memoir emotionally empty. Rather, it shifts attention from self-display to judgment. Readers see how Grant understood timing, logistics, terrain, morale, and political necessity as interconnected factors. The annotated edition helps clarify why this plainness is not literary weakness. Samet's contextual notes show how Grant's style participates in traditions of military writing while also differing from more romanticized Civil War narratives. The result is a memoir whose authority comes from compression, control, and a refusal to embellish victory. Secondly, the annotations expand the memoir from personal recollection into cultural history. Elizabeth D. and Samet's annotations are central to this edition because they turn Grant's account into a layered historical object. Grant frequently writes with the assumption that readers know the people, places, campaigns, political tensions, and military terms he mentions. Modern readers often do not. The notes bridge that gap by identifying figures, explaining campaign geography, clarifying institutional references, and connecting events to broader 19th century contexts. The edition also widens the frame beyond battlefield explanation. It relates Grant's memoir to literature, visual culture, education, religion, political ideology, and the language of war. This is important because Grant was not only a soldier recording operations. He was a participant in a world shaped by classical education, West Point habits, imperial conflicts, slavery, nationalism, and print culture. By making those contexts visible, the annotations prevent the memoir from being read as an isolated personal memory. They show how even Grant's apparently simple statements carry historical density. The edition, therefore, serves both as a reading guide and as an argument that memoirs require context to be interpreted responsibly. Thirdly, the Civil War narrative emphasizes command as adaptation under pressure. Grant's account of the Civil War is especially valuable because it presents command as a process of adapting to uncertainty rather than executing perfect plans. His campaigns show repeated attention to movement, supply, initiative, and the need to act before an opponent can recover. He does not describe generalship as abstract genius. Instead, he often explains how decisions arose from imperfect information, difficult terrain, unreliable communications, and the behavior of both allies and enemies. This practical view gives the memoir lasting relevance for military historians and leadership readers. Grant's treatment of figures such as Sherman and Lincoln also underscores the importance of trust, strategic alignment, and political awareness. The war, in his telling, is not only a series of battles but a test of institutional coordination across armies, government, and public opinion. The annotated edition reinforces this dimension by situating campaigns within maps, operational background, and historical commentary. Readers can better understand why decisions that seem simple in retrospect were complex at the time. Grant's leadership emerges less as charisma than as persistence, realism, and disciplined focus on the central objective. Fourthly, the edition challenges lost cause memory by restoring slavery and Union purpose to the center. One of the edition's important interventions is its resistance to lost cause interpretations of the Civil War. Lost cause memory has often portrayed the Confederacy as primarily noble, defensive, and detached from slavery, while diminishing Union aims and Grant's abilities. Grant's memoir itself does not support that distortion. Although his language reflects the period in which he wrote, he is clear about secession, rebellion, and the political stakes of preserving the United States. The annotated edition strengthens this aspect by helping readers see how post-war narratives shape reputations and public memory. Grant was long caricatured in some accounts as merely a brute force general, while Confederate commanders were romanticized as superior stylists of war. Contextual annotation complicates that inherited framing by showing Grant's strategic intelligence, political judgment, and moral seriousness within the Union cause. This matters because memoirs do not exist outside later interpretation. Sammet's edition encourages readers to distinguish between Grant's actual text, the evidence of the war, and later myths that recast defeat as virtue. It thereby makes the book part of an ongoing debate over historical memory. Lastly, Grant's personal trajectory gives the memoir unusual moral and historical tension. The memoir is compelling not only because Grant became the leading Union general, but because his life before that success was marked by uncertainty, modest circumstances, and repeated professional frustration. He came from a Tanner's family, attended West Point without initially seeking a military career, served in the Mexican War, left the army, and struggled in civilian life before the Civil War transformed his prospects. This trajectory gives the memoir a tension absent from triumphalist autobiography. Grant writes as a man who knew failure, dependence, and public misjudgment before authority came to him. His final circumstances add another layer. He composed the memoir while gravely ill and financially desperate, hoping to provide for his family. That knowledge does not make every passage confessional, but it sharpens the reader's awareness of purpose and urgency. The annotated edition helps place this life story alongside the national crisis he describes. Grant's rise from obscurity to command becomes inseparable from the Union's struggle to survive. The memoir therefore combines personal rehabilitation, military testimony, and national history in a distinctive form. In conclusion, The Annotated Memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant is best suited for readers who want more than a standard Civil War narrative. Civil War enthusiasts, students of American history, military professionals, leadership readers, and literary scholars will all find value in it, though for different reasons. The original memoir offers direct access to Grant's thinking about command, adversity, war aims, and national preservation. The annotations add the surrounding materials needed to read that account with greater precision, especially when Grant assumes knowledge that modern readers may lack. The book's practical benefit lies in its demonstration of clear decision-making under pressure, while its intellectual benefit lies in its exposure of how memory, myth, and historical interpretation shape reputations. Compared with ordinary editions of Grant's memoirs, this version stands out because it does not merely reproduce a classic text. It actively interprets the world around the text through historical, cultural, literary, and visual context. Compared with biographies of Grant, it keeps Grant's own voice at the center while supplying scholarly guidance. That combination makes it especially useful for readers who want to understand both the man who wrote the memoir and the later national arguments that have surrounded his legacy. If you would like to support Ulysses S. Grant, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.